Welcome to our special edition of Scoop News Group's AI Week podcast. I'm Wyatt Cash, and we're here at Google Cloud Next in Las Vegas. And joining us here in the public sector booth on the expo floor is...
So my name is Amina Al-Sharif. I am a generative AI lead here at public sector. So I cover state and local government education, and then I have a very vast history in the federal space. So that's who I am. And then we can talk about what are the kind of additional portfolios in terms of roles that I cover, if that's of interest to you.
Absolutely is. Well, you obviously have already intrigued me about your exposure and experience with generative AI. A lot of people are struggling with how to adapt that in the public sector. Talk to us about what you're seeing in the public sector space, and what are you finding in the way of interesting use cases?
So I want to take a one step back from the use cases response for a second and talk about how innovation and innovative technologies have changed in the way that they break into the public sector. We've seen a very big, interesting shift in how the public sector is receiving and internalizing the current revolution, comparable to the industrial revolution, but the current kind of AI revolution that we're experiencing, of everything's changing due to a single technology. And I want to take a moment to pause and appreciate the role and responsibility that public sector entities have as very much gateway responsibility holders to the community, right? Insofar as how these technologies are being consumed and how people are supposed to think about consuming them, right? And so one of the first places that people will complain about when it comes to technology is government. Right? Look at what's happening with TikTok right now in the space in terms of, you know, regulation and no regulation, what's really happening, what's not really happening. The same kind of risk profile that's offered by AI type tools, at the end of the day, residents and citizen constituents look to the government to be that kind of neutral third party that's able to give the most unbiased feedback back to the people who live in this country and other countries about how to consume technology. And so I think that directly leads into now the government's posture in terms of how they're starting to internalize generative AI in the form of use cases. And so what's been really interesting to see is I'm a big proponent for back office tasks. I think the unsexy, boring work is a great automation opportunity for AI. It's what AI is quite good at. But where government has gone is arguably one of the highest risk applications that you could ever imagine, which is either call center and or customer operations, right? So dealing directly with the citizen constituent or resident on the other end of the line on something very essential, whether it be social security or disability or unemployment adjudication or health and human services and access to care. Those are the use cases that I'm finding, or I'm calling them, in kind of an on-the-nose way, the gateway drug for a lot of generative AI use cases to follow. Now, that's what I'm noticing in the public sector space. I would love to see organizations continue to take that pause and self-reflect and look also internally into their own operations and their back office tasks and start focusing on their workforce at the same time. Because I think focusing on the upskilling that's happening and the changes and the shifts that are happening in the labor market right now, they cannot be ignored. On like a micro and a macroeconomic level, this is going to be a monumental shift in how everyone does work for a very long time. So that's, you know, the direction we are at and the direction that I hope we go at some point.
That's really interesting. So on one hand, we are seeing public sector officials actually being rather bold in trying to apply AI in innovative ways to serve the public, but maybe a little before they've had a chance to get enough experience at the back end to train their people and learn how it could be used. Sounds like you need to do both at the same time.
Yeah, you kind of need to do both at the same time. And the appreciation that I have as well for government is that they are aware that they do, by their very nature of being government agencies, have to be a little bit more risk averse than the next organization or enterprise or commercial company that's operating out there, because of that heavy reliance and responsibility and trust, whether we like it or not, that people have in the government in order to be that kind of, you know, objective third party. The risk averseness is, it's been budding in interesting ways, right? So we're willing to take on these really high impact, very visible use cases, like I mentioned, call centers that are directly customer facing. But then we have this extreme risk averseness for in other areas, like the, when we talk about the labor market, right? Insofar to how it affects those organizations and the upcoming workforce that's going to be working in public sector. So yeah, it's a very, very interesting kind of somewhat contradictory moment that we're in with public sector as well. And I'm sure if we dug into it a little bit more, we could probably figure out why that's the case.
Well, let's dig into that a little bit more. Can you talk about some of your customers, for example, that are maybe, you know, leading the way on how to use this, and, you know, what lessons other public sector leaders could learn, and maybe the preferred way to do it, if you will.
So, I mean, on one end, we have to talk about the full spectrum of customers, or else I'd be doing them a disservice. On one end, we have the customers who were the same people once upon a time that thought electricity was witchcraft, right? This is absolute total evil that's coming from nowhere. We don't understand it. There's no possible way to understand it. And it's only here to do bad things. And so on one end of the spectrum, we kind of have those customers. On the other end of the spectrum, we have the customers who understand, as we're sitting here in, you know, Mandalay Bay, and I'm looking at all these overhead lights that are right above us. Well, not even maybe 100 or 150 years ago, those would have all been chandeliers, and they would have all had candles on them. And there's a whole dedicated army of people whose entire job is to light and put out the candles and make sure that they're running so that gatherings like this could happen, right? And arguably gatherings this large sometimes didn't happen because of that very reason. But now we're in 2023 and nobody's advocating for the candle maker and candle lighter union, right? That's just not a thing that's here. And so I think we're afraid to have those conversations about how workforce and labor is going to change for government, because government inherently is very change averse, right? And so large transformations are going to happen in one of two ways for government, in my opinion, at least in the United States. It's either going to be in a crisis mode, so people push it off for the problem, right? Whatever however they identify the problem to be, whether it's the AI itself and the technology itself, or the fact that they don't want their workers displaced, right? Because they're under the impression that that's the case. It's either gonna get to a crisis moment where in a crisis moment, they're going to have to solve for this problem and go ahead and adopt the technology anyways, right? We've kind of already seen that in the progression of technology in the past. Or some other agencies are going to, they're gonna put their necks out there and they're going to take some risks and they're gonna fall on their faces and they're going to get cuts and bruises, but they're not going to look back and say that we didn't try, and they will be miles ahead of every other organization when it comes to modernization of the workforce and modernization of what government means to Gen Z and Gen Alpha and beyond, right?
Terrific. Well said. Doubling back to generative AI, what do you feel got announced here or is rolling out shortly from Google that public sector leaders need to really be aware of or on the lookout for?
Yeah. So let me talk on a strategic level. One really, the biggest takeaway that I got from our announcements that we had yesterday is the fact that we are now using Google search data to ground our responses in Gemini Live.
And talk about why that's important.
It's important because now you are truly using the full width and breadth of the internet that Google owns, which is anywhere from 40 to 60% of all internet traffic on a given day, to ground your data in real time, aka validate the answers that are coming out from the large language model using live data that you would experience in search, which is already kind of a trusted experience to a certain extent for most people. Most people use Google search and don't feel uncomfortable using it in that way. So now it introduces an interesting aspect in the sense of, one, the real-time novelty of it. Wow, now we get to ground against the entire internet. All of the internet data that Google uses to make search special, that's validated, that's ranked, that's filtered or unfiltered, depending on what side of the fence you argue about, right? Now can be used as a source and a layer of truth. Now for the data scientists and the technical folks that are absorbing this content, that is presenting a very exciting way to narrow down and teach models what they need to do without going extreme on the compute or the complication end of things, right? So if I can take my own data and use it as a grounding layer on top of these first party models, any hyperscaler models that are out there, that is an incredibly interesting way that's kind of new and different to consider how to make these non-deterministic models more deterministic for our needs. So that was the biggest takeaway that I took from, you know, all of the new and exciting things that were announced, is now finally the consumer part of Google is coming together with cloud and teaming up on a capability. And that's where we really start moving into big, big places, right?
So we're kind of at an inflection point within a larger inflection point as we move forward to generative AI.
And if you want to expand that out beyond the search piece, there was an announcement that was just made maybe one or two days ago of a company of former Googlers who are opening a company to essentially use generative AI as the language and semantic layer to understanding data and signals from all around the physical world. So anything that's collected from the physical world. Now, I admire that startup's, you know, endeavor to go do so, but when you think about who's most appropriately positioned to actually tackle AI in a big way like that, in terms of introducing generative technology to the physical representation of the world around us and start probing and asking some very essential questions on how we perceive life and the universe around us, that's where we start getting to some very interesting places in terms of where is human thought going to be 20, 30, even 50 years from now, in terms of the level of critical thinking that's going to be required to navigate these systems and master them as opposed to working for them. If that makes sense.
It does. It sounds like a challenge. I think one of the things that I took away is that the technology is evolving so quickly, the capabilities, escalating at such an amazing pace, that it seems hard for us humans to figure out how to keep up with that, how to harness it, and how to train our workforces to even begin to really capitalize on it. So how are you advising public agencies in their workforce strategies so that this technology just doesn't overwhelm them?
So I'm going to level set, and then I'm going to give some words of encouragement, but I'm not going to promise to solve the problem. The initial level setting that I will say is, we have been through this before with the workforce, guys. This is not new. So let's not freak out and call this something that it hasn't occurred to us before, because technology and automation and RPA processes have been hitting our workforce for the longest time, and it's just changing what the workforce looks like. Now, we are at a moment in so many different ways with this technology where we can either choose to use the technology to bridge the inevitable divide that could happen from a socioeconomic perspective in terms of jobs disparity, right? Between the white collar and the blue collar and the knowledge worker and the gig worker, right? The all of the different categories that we have. Or we can choose to ignore the technology, and then it's out of our control and it's just going to go wherever whoever's in control takes it, which is a scary prospect for public sector and governments. And so you kind of want to have to be at the forefront of it in order to start helping usher it in a responsible and ethical way to your workforce, right? If that makes sense. you will never catch up with the wave. You will never beat the wave. You'll never be ahead of the wave. Even the people who are creating the very systems that we're using today are not ahead of the wave. They just know a little bit more than the person next to them, which brings me to my final point when it comes to modernizing the workforce and understanding the impact and crossroads between technology and the workforce. You must be humble. You must be humble all the time, and you must be open-minded. Opinions formed from past experience is very valid. That is what we do need more of that. And so as a result, I tell my leaders, trust your gut. Your experience got you here. So now lean on it when times become gray, because that's what it's there for. Right? And all of your different diverse ways of tackling the problem will inevitably lead to the one single Olympic team that represents the United States, right? Or really any other country, of a conglomerate of agencies, vendors, and educational institutions that are all fighting for the same thing at the end of the day. So it's a moment of extreme humility for a lot of people, because the world is growing in dimensions and ways that we haven't comprehended or maybe experienced before.
Absolutely. Well, great advice to end on. Amina, thank you so much for joining us here at Google Cloud Next and here in the public sector booth at the Mandalay Bay.
Thank you so much
for
having me.
Thank you.